Africa is under the influence of foreigners.
Calling +27. Got a Category 4 ticket to spare?
The other side of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa.
Professor Patrick Bond of the School of Development Studies at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban. He is a political economist with long-standing research interests in urban communities, and including global justice research in political economy, environment, social policy, and geopolitics. He also directs the Center for Civil Society based at the same university, that is, the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban.
Well, I think the viewers should just know that beyond the beautiful scenes of extraordinary stadia and the beautiful scenery that they'll be broadcast are lots of protests, particularly, Susan, because the promises made have really been broken. Just one example, there will be a few sellers of arts and crafts, a very small percentage of those who are normally engaged in selling African curios or the local foods will be allowed in the vicinity, but most have been displaced. And so there have been extreme protests associated with just access to trickle down from the tourists that will be coming and locals to the games. And normally, if you're in a soccer stadium, you simply walk outside and you buy what's called pap and flace. The pap is the cornmeal, heavily stirred, and then the flace is a bit of meat. And you can get that for about a dollar or so, and you enjoy that and take it back into the stadium. And it's no big deal. In this case, however, McDonald's and the beer company Anheuser-Busch and Coca-Cola have just banned any kind of local food sales within a kilometer of the stadium. So it's one of these situations, even at the extent of things that should have been made locally in South Africa for the Cup, like the Sakumi doll. That's our little mascot, a little toy leopard. And those 2.3 million of them, in fact, were made in China, where the workers at the Shanghai Fashion Plastic Products and Gifts Company, who are connected to one of the African National Congress members of parliament from China, and they, for 23 rand a day, that is about $3 a day, are the teenagers there making these little dolls. Well, we've just lost a million jobs, and the clothing textile sector has been hardest hit because of the world economic collapse. And so this is one of the other examples of a failed promise that any of the benefits would really trickle down and have a linkage effect in the economy. As I said, tourism is in very bad shape because of the over-promising and the overbuilding of facilities. Healthcare is going to be a trouble because the hospitals are some parts of major public and private hospitals are being kept off limits just for FIFA. And then the tragedy, in a way, because soccer is such a great game, it's the world's game, we really thought maybe the township facilities could be improved and that you'd see some what's called developments, soccer development in the townships. And unfortunately, there's just been nothing. As Norman Arends, who's the president of the South African Football Association in Cape Town, puts it, there's been a fatal top-down approach that's left the grassroots soccer development program with, as he calls it, crumbs. Well, it happened because the power relations in South Africa really do reflect the existing capitalist class of South Africa and the world bearing down on the African National Congress government from 1994 and forcing it to adopt a crony capitalist and pro-business approach. So it just meant that a lot of cronies, maybe a few hundred within the African National Congress close to the leadership clique, got the contracts associated with what they call black economic empowerment. So they could buy in a 25% share into a company, and the construction company, often led by the old white Afrikaners, would get the contracts and put the price up dramatically for the taxpayers to pay for that. And then you'd find as well a relationship between some of the people involved. President Thabo Mbeki, for example, when it was his watch, FIFA made most of these deals. He was very committed to South Africa becoming a kind of neoliberal country, one that was well integrated into the world economy with very few domestic regulations. And I think it's that spirit of putting business interests first above all else and hoping that these increasing protests don't rock the boat too much and limiting the extent of dissent and political unrest to sort of internecine squabbles within the ruling party. We haven't really seen this huge number of protests, over 10,000 that even the police record every year, turn yet into a big mass mobilization because they've been isolated and no one's really been able to connect the dots. And the trade unions are still very much within the African National Congress camp, and they've complained appropriately about these kinds of relationships, for example, displacement of small traders, or the inability to get local goods made, or street children being pulled off the streets, or the lack of relationship also to the African continent. These kinds of failures to trickle down the benefits, but they're not powerful enough to really change policies.